At the completion of the Old Testament, there was so much more than just the turning of a page. This simple paper found in our Bibles actually signifies hundreds of years of silence. A silence so thunderous that it was heard around the world. A stillness so powerful that the only thing that could break its grip was the authority of love found in a place no one was even looking in. Throughout the Old Testament, the cries of our God echo upon almost every page. At times, they are cries of joy and happiness, even cries of victory and triumph. But there is yet another cry found upon the tattered pages of our Bibles. A cry that is often ignored, even though it speaks louder than all the others. It is the cry for intimacy. The people of God would not respond to the one thing that he desired the most. And so, after many years of calling and weeping, silence came. It was the silence of God. The people, time and time again, proved only to themselves that they did not need God. And so, God gave them what they wanted. An iron curtain blanketed the face of the earth. Light turned to darkness, and the open heaven, once taken for granted, was now but just a memory of what once was. God had turned away his ear, his hand, and his voice. Not because of anger, but because of a broken heart. You see, even though God is immortal, his heart can be broken. Even though he cannot experience death himself, his heart can experience death over and over and over. Nobody can take his life, but we can take his heart. Nobody can take his crown, but we can take him from his feet to his knees. And though nobody can take the victory that is only the Lord's, we can take so much of the beauty away from it. Paul spoke words that echoed in the very heart of God when he said, "For because of the hope of Israel, I am bound by this chain." When God sent forth his Son, he uttered his voice once again, not because the people deserved it, but because he did. Not because he desired dominion, but because he desired friendship. And it is that same unyielding hope that has kept him chained to his promises still today. His hands are not tied, but his heart is bound by his word to love us and be faithful no matter the cost. He has chosen to become a slave to our schedules because of hope. He has chosen to become a slave to our wants, our desires, our needs, and all because of hope. A hope that one day we would throw down our prominent crowns and shed our worldly robes and be clothed with the radiant rags he bore and be dressed with a crown of thorns. For there is no better picture of the unity of love and beauty than that upon the face of our Savior when hung upon Calvary's tree. It is the hope that we would one day tell God that he is finally enough. God desires to be set free, not because his hands are tied, but because he is bound by the chains of hope. It is a hope that is flamed by the fires of intimacy, a desire that we may know our God and know the depths of his love. That when once again silence blankets the earth and darkness is clearly seen, we will rest in the assurance of who we are in Christ. We will be comforted by the love that is unfailing and is strong enough to pierce through the darkest of days and blackest of nights. God has paid a debt that would not even be His. We as a people need to recognize and acknowledge that He owes us nothing more, that He need no longer be bound by what we want Him to do and when we want Him to do it, that He can finally be free, free to be Him. And when we do this, we will experience a side of Him that we never knew was there because we weren't even looking. Peter repeats what the prophet Joel spoke forth when he said, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit on all people." But he left out one very important phrase. In Joel 2:28, the Lord starts off by saying, "And afterward." Before we can experience more of God, He must first experience more of us. Before He can freely pour out His Spirit, He must first experience freedom. We must return to Him with all our hearts by acknowledging that what He has paid is more than enough, that He need no longer be our slave, but our master. Darkness is coming again. Silence is returning once more. Prophecies will cease, tongues will no longer be uttered, and knowledge will retreat back from whence it came. We will be a people amidst raging waters and blackened sky, with nothing and no one capable of guiding us home. Nothing, that is, except love. For love cannot and will not fail. It is capable of guiding, of directing, of comforting, of obtaining, and of finishing. The problem with love, though, is you can't just take it out of your pocket when you need it. The meaning of perfect in the original Greek is complete or mature. This perfect love that will dispel all torment from the enemy, a love experienced by the uniting of two, has to develop into perfection. It must be cultivated. In other words, you must improve the growth by effort and attention. If the darkness reaches you in this coming hour and you have not love, it is not God's love that will fail you. It is your love that you failed to give to God that will be your undoing. He has never stopped calling. We have just stopped listening. If we want to experience love, we must first be broken. If we want to be broken, we must first humble ourselves. And the only way to humble ourselves is to first be honest. The hour is growing nigh. The colors of the skies are beginning to change, and the voice of the Lord is slowly becoming softer. And yet, though His voice be softer, His heartbeat grows louder. His heart is screaming, "Seek me while I may be found. Call on me while I am near."